And I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of Hebrews and the chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And we commence reading just some verses from God's Word. We'll commence reading there at verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 7. And the verse is the verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man became, or because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of an oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word for his name's sake. Verse number 25, I'm sure, is a verse that many of you can remember having heard quoted before. It says, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so we find here a simple statement that the Lord Jesus saves those who come to him. He is able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him. We sang the words of that lovely old hymn tonight, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And praise God, he does. And that's what this verse is speaking about, that the Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The grand news of the gospel is that Jesus saves those who come to him. Thank God it doesn't say he saves a particular group of people. It doesn't say that he saves a certain creed of people or a certain color of people. It just simply says this: he is able to save to the uttermost that come. That's all that come unto God by him. Salvation is the greatest need of your heart and mine. Salvation is what sinners need. But praise God, not only is there a need of salvation, but praise God, there is someone who is able to save. I think the greatest tragedy, when we give names of people who passed away in a week that has passed, the greatest tragedy that could ever happen was somebody to die in their sin and to die unsaved. Friend, what an awful tragedy if you were to die unsaved. Jeremiah, the prophet, wrote the words, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. We're not saved. What an awful tragedy. And that, my friend, is the end of the story for you. That you've lived and you've died and you've gone into God's eternity and you are not saved. You know, tonight you have got to realize the fact that you need to be saved and that you must be saved. Acts chapter 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We need to be saved from our sin. We need to be saved from our sin. I was speaking to a young man this week, and he said, you know, he tells people, and this young lad, he was so thrilled. He said, you know, I get excited when I get telling people I need to be saved. And you know, they don't understand what I'm talking about. Saved from what? Saved from disaster? Saved from an accident? Saved from all of a disease or something? My, they can't see it. I remember whenever I got saved as a young boy, I went to school in Burn Road, in Burn Road Primary School. Remember telling the lad sitting beside me the next morning, he said, I've got something to tell you. No, I got saved. And he said, why? Were you drowning? I said to him, no, I got saved from my sin, because I got saved from sin and hell and from judgment and from wrath, which is to come. But you know, friends, it is one thing to recognize your need to be saved. But friend, the question is, how can we be saved? How can you and I be saved? And I want to tell you, this verse here tells us the answer to that question. How you and I can be saved and know that we're saved. You see, the law of God tells us that we're sinners. When you read the scriptures and you read the word of God and the law of God is given there, my, the word of God and the law of God exposes our hearts. And it condemns our sin, and we know that in ourselves we are condemned because we are still in our sin. But you know, there are things that can never take away our sin. If you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 just for a moment, it says this, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. And so therefore, whenever you read the law, friend, listen, it says it can never, the law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Look in the same chapter, look at verse 4. It says it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. And so it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. Look at verse number 11 of the same chapter. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. And so we find these things, says it, these are things that can never take away our sin. We need, here's the bottom line, we need salvation. We need to be saved from our sins. But there are things that can never take away our sin. Of ourselves, we are absolutely hopeless. Of ourselves, we are absolutely helpless to take away our sins. And therefore we ask the question, preacher, then how can my sin be taken away? How can I be saved? How can I know that I can be saved, and who can save me? The question was asked, is there any can be saved? Who then can be saved? That was the question when the Lord Jesus said, listen, that hardly for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the question is asked, who then can be saved? Thank God the answer came, with man this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Thank God we sang the words of the hymn tonight, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around. So therefore I want you to come with me to the word of God tonight. And I want us to see, as we turn to verse number 25 of chapter 7 Hebrews, let's read it again. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, listen to that text, friend. Pray that God will help me tonight just to expound what God has given to us. There are four simple things that I want to leave with you tonight. First thing is this. Only Jesus is worthy to save sinners. Only Jesus is worthy to save sinners. You can search the whole wide world tonight, wanting to be saved, feeling the burden of your sin, feeling the load of sin upon your heart, feeling the guilt upon your conscience. And friend, you can search the world seeking to find somebody, something worthy to save you from your sin. And the answer is this, my friend, there's only one worthy to save you from your sin. And his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ alone is worthy to save sinners. And you ask me the question, but preacher, why is that? What makes the Lord Jesus different than all others? Why couldn't I save myself? Why couldn't my mother save me? Why couldn't my father save me? Why couldn't my friend save me? Why couldn't the preacher? Yes, preacher, why can't you save me? And yet you're standing in the pulpit tonight and you're saying, listen, none of these can save you. Only Jesus is worthy. What makes Jesus different? What makes Jesus different from all the rest? That he alone is worthy to save us from our sins. The answer is this, my friend. He alone is the sinless one. He alone is the one who is without sin. You see, God is a holy God. And God must therefore punish sin. God cannot tolerate sin. God cannot stand on the sideline and overlook sin. And so therefore the only one who can save a man from sin is someone who is not stained by sin. Because someone stained by sin could never appease a righteous and a holy God. Neither can a man in his sin demand that heaven, the place where God dwells, the holy place where God dwells, is his home if he's still in his sin. But the one who came to seek and to save sinners was the righteous, the holy Lamb of God. This holy thing that is conceived of thee is of the Holy Ghost. Do you remember the centurion standing at the cross? Remember when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary? And my friend, the very rocks began to shake. And what did the centurion cry out? Surely, truly, this is a righteous man. Yes, truly, this is a righteous man, the Holy Son of God. Look at what it says there in verse 26. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the righteous one. God in his righteousness could never speak peace to the sinner because a righteous God must punish sin. But Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. And there on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says he bare our sins upon his own body on the tree. And there he drank damnation dry, and all the punishment and all the hell that was due for my sin, Jesus Christ suffered for a sinner like me. And then he cried, it's finished. Father, the work's done. The work that thou hast given me to save that poor preacher, it's done. It's done. Friend, thank God he satisfied divine justice. He satisfied a righteous God. And thank God in Christ tonight and in Christ alone, I am accepted in the Beloved. I am accepted in Christ. I'm not accepted because of who I am. Because who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would cry, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so to an old rugged cross to go. For who am I? And yet who am I tonight? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of the King. I am a child of God tonight. In Christ I stand complete. I stand righteous in the robes of the righteousness of Christ. Notice what it says there in verse 26. For such an high priest became us. The word became means to be fitting. In other words, exactly what we needed. He was exactly the one that you and I needed. He was undefiled, the Bible says. He was holy. He was harmless. He was separate from sinners. He was made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for their own sins and then for the people's? But this he did once when he offered up himself. You see, he, the sinless one, oh, see him tonight. Oh, examine him tonight. Oh, search him tonight. And there is none other like him, because he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy to save sinners. Search me, and you'll find the stain of sin, because I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Search everyone else, and you'll find them defiled by sin and stained by sin. You'll find flaws. You'll find defilement and stains there. You'll find guilt there. You'll find blemishes there. But search Christ, and he is the uncorrupted one, for he's holy. He is the unblameable one. Yes, he is the undefiled one. He is the unblemished one. He is the uncontaminated one. He's the harmless one, without guilt and without blame. That's Jesus. That's the Savior tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ made himself a sacrifice for our sins. And he was able to do that because he had no sin of his own. He was the sinless, harmless, crimeless Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Or Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 11. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You examine the temple, friend, and you'll find that there was no seat there. Because you see, the priests and the high priests, they would have to continue their work. They never sat down. You see, the work was never finished. It says, every priest standeth daily, day after day, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice. And yet the reality was this: they could never take away sins. But thank God they were pointing to the one that would take away sin through the sacrifice, listen, of himself. You see, the Lord Jesus was himself the sacrifice. And he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. My, that's the glory of the gospel, friend. Yes, he is worthy to save. But not only did he die for our sins, but let's just look back there at verse 25, because the gospel doesn't stop there. Listen, it goes further. Because the Bible tells us that he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. You see, the gospel is not only that Jesus died for our sins, but praise God, he was buried for our sins, but hallelujah, he rose again. That's the grand old gospel. He rose again. We needed to be reminded of that fact, friend, that we don't bow down at some altar of wood or stone, or we don't come to some tomb and stand crying at a closed door where a person's dead and gone. Hallelujah! We serve a living Savior. It says He ever liveth. He ever liveth. That's what it says in verse 25. He's an ever-living Savior to make intercession for us. Remember John on the Isle of Patmos when he saw the Lord? Revelation chapter 1, just go over there for a moment. Keep your hand in Hebrews. We'll always come back there. But John, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 17, it says in this, "And when I saw him," says John, oh, what a day that's going to be, friend, when we see him. John says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. I am alive forevermore." Friend, you go through the message of the gospel and you'll find this, the great note of victory. Go through the preaching of Peter. Go through the preaching of Paul. Go through the preaching of Stephen, that godly young man. Friend, let me tell you, and it not only tells you of Jesus Christ who died, but praise God, Jesus Christ who is alive. A living, exalted Christ. You see, up to Calvary, every man that ever was confronted by death, everyone that ever was faced with death, friend, they had to give way to death. They were conquered by it. But hallelujah, not this man. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, listen, he conquered death. He said, "I am he that liveth. I and was dead. But I'm alive forevermore." We serve a living Savior tonight. Praise God, because Jesus lives, we shall live also. Thank God the message of Easter is this, not that only Jesus died for our sin, but thank God he rose victorious over the grave. The tomb's empty. And those that visit Jerusalem, friend, will go to the tomb, but praise God the stone's away, because Christ is risen indeed, as he said. Because he promised. He says, "I have the power to lay down my life of myself." He said, listen to me. He says, "I have the power to lay it down, but I have the power to take it again." And not only did Jesus die for me. Oh, friend, have I served a dead Savior. One who's still in the tomb. One who death has still held in his grip. What hopelessness. I couldn't face the tomb with joy or comfort if death had held him. But praise God, death could not hold him. Praise God, the grave could not hold him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the wages of sin is death. My substitute died. Yes, he died according to the scriptures. And he was buried. He really died. He was buried. But thank God he rose again. And this is what the Word of God says in verse 25 of Hebrews 7. He ever liveth. He liveth forever. That's what Jesus says. John, you're lying there. But I am alive. I am alive forevermore. He says, I have the power to lay it down. Let me tell you this, friend. Pilate thought he had the power. And Herod thought he had the power. And the Roman soldiers, they thought they had the power, that they put him to death. Listen, Jesus says, I have the power to lay it down. He says, I have the power to take it again. Because I received it of my Father. What a victorious Christ tonight. But friend, thank God, the message that we have to proclaim doesn't stop there. Because the Bible says not only that Jesus died, that Jesus Christ, he liveth forevermore. But notice what it says in the end of the verse. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That there's a man in the glory tonight, and his name is Jesus. And thank God, he maketh intercession for us. He is our advocate. He pleadeth before the throne of his Father for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, the Son entered into a covenant with his Father to redeem a people for himself. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53, that lovely chapter that we read. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And so often, friend, you know, we just say that, my, those words are so beautiful. Listen, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, verse 10. But go to verse number 12. Therefore it says, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. And then it says this, and made intercession for the transgressors. There is one, away back in eternity, the Son entered into a covenant with the Father to redeem a people to himself. And thank God, friend, what a privilege to be a part of that number. To know that that covenant was something that you and I were a part of if you're saved tonight. Verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 53 says, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Listen, he shall see his seed. Hallelujah. He did not die in vain. He shall see his seed. Oh, that we would tell the world tonight that we serve a living and exalted an interceding Christ. He shall see his seed. Oh, what a joy to know that we before the Father tonight are remembered. His intercession. It says he ever liveth to make intercession for them whom he has saved. And friend, I believe that intercession guarantees me of this fact. It guarantees me that I will arrive safely home. Our brother was singing about it. On the old ship of Zion. Arriving safely on the shore. And praise God. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. I'll make it. I'll make heaven. Because he shall see his seed. He shall. And one day, just like John when he had that vision in the Isle of Patmos, he says, and when I saw him. Oh, what a glorious day when we see him who loved us and gave himself for us. He alone is worthy. Very quickly tonight, not only is he worthy to save sinners, but praise God, he's holy able to save sinners. That's what it says in verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them. He's able to save them. What an awful tragedy. If I was lost in my sin and there was nobody to rescue me, there was nobody to find me, and I couldn't find my way, and I couldn't make it to heaven my own, and I can't. But praise God, he is wholly able, completely able to save. Notice what it says. It says he's able to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save them to the uttermost. Know what that tells me? There is not a man or a woman, there is not a person in this meeting tonight that is too hard for God to save. Thank God he's able to save to the uttermost. I was reading about that in my study and I said this, able to save anyone, even those who come from the gutter. Even those that are able to come from the gutter. You know, there's people saying to me, preacher, you know, God couldn't save me. I've told you before, I remember old Johnny McQuaid, he's a member of Parliament for North Belfast. And Johnny fought in the war, and he went as one of the special forces in the war and fought the Germans. And he had fight, and I can tell you it was no picnic. Johnny always was moved when he started speaking about it and many things he couldn't say. But I remember challenging Johnny one time about his soul and his need of salvation. Johnny said to me, William, God could never save the likes of me. If you knew what I had to do for my king and country, if you only know what I had to do when I was fighting the Germans, and what I had to do to try and win the war, he said, let me tell you. He said, God could never save the likes of me or forgive the likes of me. But he said, I had to do it or die. He said, God could never save me. And then one day, Johnny lived in a wee home, a wee humble home, two up and one down off the Shankill Road. And Sissy, his wife, he loved her with all his heart. And Sissy and Johnny, they stood together through all the years. And he loved Sissy with all his heart. And Sissy took ill. And he knew that Sissy wasn't saved. And here was a hard soldier whose hands had been covered in blood in the war. And yet he knew his wife wasn't saved. And he didn't want her to die and go to hell. And so he got a friend of mine to go and see Sissy and to talk to her about her soul, and thank God she got saved. But friend, not only did God get Sissy in, God got Hard Johnny in as well. Saved him. Do you know what he found out? That God was able to save anyone, even to the gutter. Even to the gutter. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. He's able to save you tonight. Never let the devil tell you you're too far gone and that you're without hope tonight. I want to tell you I've got good news for you. He's able to save you. And he's not only able to save you, he's able to save you to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Completely. Not a half job. Hallelujah. It's a full job. When he died on the cross, thank God he died and he finished the work. Thank God whenever he saves you, he'll finish the work, because Paul said the work that he had begun, he would complete to the day of Christ. Having started a good work in me, thank God the Lord Jesus will complete it. It says, listen, he's able to save to the uttermost. He's worthy to save. He is wholly able to save. Thirdly, he's willing to save. He's willing to save. I think of the leper. Turn back to the book of Matthew's Gospel just for a moment. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. The Bible says there, when he, Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Jesus, saying, "Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." God, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Let me tell you, friend, he came to save. The Bible tells us, for the Son of Man is come. Why did he come? Why did Jesus Christ come? Is he willing to save? Listen. It says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And you know that you're lost tonight in your sin. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will show you that he's willing to save. Nehemiah chapter 9:17 says, he is a God ready to pardon. Ready. He's ready to pardon. He's willing to save to the uttermost. It says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. You say to me, but you don't know why sin. Listen. See him with a woman taken in adultery. Thank God he told her to go and sin no more. See him with a blind man who was cast out. See him with the publicans and the sinners. See him as he was moved when he saw the multitude and had compassion on them, knowing that they were like sheep without a shepherd. See him as he departed from Jericho and there were two blind men sitting by the wayside. And the Lord Jesus stopped the crowd. And he called for the men, the blind men, to come. See him with blind Bartimaeus, who left his rags behind. It says, he calleth for thee. See him as he weeps over the city of Jerusalem, those scorching tears. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would gather a brood under her wing. How oft would I, but ye would not. He's a God willing to save. Listen, friend, and with this I'm through. He's a Savior waiting to save. What does it say here? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That come. He's able to save them to the uttermost. That come unto God by him. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5:40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. They come unto God through him. You see, friend, he is the only Savior. It's only through him. You say to me, preacher, you know, I'll try it my way. I'll live the best I can. I'll do the best I can. Let me tell you, my friend. And whenever you're carried down the road and all your good works are paraded in front of the congregation, and you expect the preacher to talk about how wonderful you are because that's why you think you're going to make it to heaven. All these good works. Let me tell you, friend. And you see, when you're buried in the grave, they're buried with you. And people will walk away And after a while, you'll be forgotten. Somebody else will take your place in people's minds and imaginations. But you've died in your sin. And with all your good works, you'll go to hell. Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You need Jesus. Them that come unto God, he's able to save. Yes, he's able to save. That come unto God by him. Now, you're going to obey God's word or not? You're going to come. Are you going to walk your own way? For it's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof's the way of death. May God bring you to himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art a God who's ready and able and willing to save. We thank thee that we have a great message to proclaim tonight. That there is a Savior from all sin. If we'll only let him into our hearts, he then will reign. Well, we trust him. And, O God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou will give sinners the grace tonight to come through Christ and know in Christ Jesus alone and in the work of his cross, the work of the shedding of his precious blood, dying in our guilty room instead, as our substitute, and, O God, purchasing in the coinage of his precious blood eternal life for those who come and receive that gift which thou dost give, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, that men and women would by faith tonight reach out that hand and receive that gift freely offered in the gospel of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Spirit of God, draw. Because except thou dost draw them, then the preacher can't. O God, make this real to sinners' hearts tonight. That there is one who is able to save them, able to save every woman, every man, every young person this meeting. Them that come unto God by him, because Christ is the only way to the Father. Oh, blessed Spirit of God, give them grace to come. As their heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just as I am, without one plea, the hymn writer said, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Friend, you've got to come. O Lamb of God, I come. Is that the cry of your heart tonight? Do you mean that before the Lord tonight? I'll tell you, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord will not turn you away. If you come in repentance and you come by faith to Christ alone and rest alone in him. Let's sing that little verse. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and God's people sing it prayerfully with a burden for sinners and a burden for those that have wandered away. Oh, may God give you grace tonight to come. He bids you come, that come unto God by him. He's able to save you. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am with us.
But that thy blood was shed for me, that thou didst me come to thee.
If there's someone tonight, would you lift that hand toward heaven? Preacher, I realize I need to come tonight. By the grace of God, I say, O Lamb of God, I come. Is there someone there? We close. Sing one more verse, just as I am and waiting not.
Just as I am and waiting not.
To rid my soul. Is there someone tonight, friend, in God's name, I'm pleading with your soul. Plead with you, come to Christ. Is there a man, a woman, young person? Father, mother, son or daughter? Closing second of the meeting, will you come? Would you lift that hand toward heaven? O Lamb of God, I come. And we're here to help you. I'll be in the minister's room. Come and speak to me. Praise God, we can open from you with God's word and just show you how you really, really can be saved and know you're saved and have the assurance of your salvation. We do not leave without Jesus. Oh God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will trouble sinners in their sin. Let them not take another step without you, Lord. But give them grace to come. Run to Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake.